In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, hour number two. We are broadcasting live at Libby, Montana's Dodges Bay Road in Mequon. If you want to come out and say hello, the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Green Bay Packers tomorrow night. And we'll get into the rest of the docket regarding the NFL this coming weekend as well. Big game on Sunday night, if you're listening to us, and maybe you're a concerned citizen from either south of the border or just to the west of us, but it is going
Bears
to
game?
Be a big one. The Bears and the Vikings. Vikings on the road in Chicago at that giant cruise ship parked behind a Parthenon they call Soldier Field. And they are going to be going at it for the top spot in the NFC North on Sunday Night Football. It's the first time in, if I remember correctly, 3 years that the Bears have been on primetime.
Oh, wow.
And they were flexed.
Well, yeah. And then they got the field goal kicker, Cody. What about the Steelers? Cody Parkey, right? So he
4 straight against the upright.
Yeah.
Doink, 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 doink.
2 point after touchdowns, 2 field goals that he missed. You couldn't do that if you tried. Doinking him 4 times, he hit the uprights. And Jimmy Fallon said after the game he missed the door to the locker room 4 times.
He kept hitting the frame.
Yeah.
What was revealed after that game, which I found rather interesting, was he has never practiced in Soldier Field. He has never practiced inside Soldier Field.
What?
Because they keep you at Hallis Hall up, which is 50 miles away in Lake Forest.
It's not safe.
Oh, that's
so
stupid.
They have never taken him
to
practice.
Think of all the winds that swirl around that place.
Yeah, never taken him to practice inside Soldier Field, so
go
they're
Bears.
Doing that this week.
Go
that,
Bears.
That turf is tough surface to kick off of, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, the Parks Department, they do a good job. They bring in goats the week ahead of time. They gnaw on that thing. And
sure.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. So
you got a bad septic tank? That's what it looks like at Soldier Field.
That's exactly right. I never understood with Miller Park, they can grow grass inside that place, and Lambeau Field can keep the growing lights on, and it looks like
all the time
they just open that thing up in the springtime, even in the dead of winter, and yet Soldier Field always looks like they just got rid of the cattle before we all walked in.
Right, yeah. The circus was here last night.
Yeah.
You missed the show.
Yes, just step over the elephant crap. The guy with the bucket and the sweep, the broom just left. You got to be careful. I never understood how they can't grow grass at Soldier
Looking
Field.
Looking forward to that Sunday night.
I guess with all the bodies buried underneath it, it's...
Well, sure.
I don't know if I want to go there. Come on now. Come on. Mike Clemens, the voice that you hear from NFL Sirius Radio. John Dodds here as well from Dodds on Sports, the website. Also does the stats for the Green Bay Packers broadcast as well. Packers on the road taking on the Seattle Seahawks. One of the things that we are not talking about, nobody's talking about, is Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. And, Mike, as much as you and I sit there in the press box and we're sitting next to each other going, boy, look, he really missed that throw. How come he's throwing it into the dirt or in somebody's feet? Do you think there's any lingering effects of the broken collarbone?
I do. I'm concerned about it now.
I'm trying to figure out why he's just every now and then missing a throw badly.
A month ago, there was a rumor in the locker room there might be a wrist injury that was hindering some of his accuracy. But so he breaks the collarbone. He comes back. He's about 75% in that game against the Carolina Panthers. The ball comes up short. He goes through the offseason. We talked to him during OTAs and mini camps. He's there for all the practices that they let the media in. You see him going along. Then you kind of wonder about, you know, the team waiting for the Matt Ryan and the Kirk Cousins deal, and you think, well, maybe they need to have a little show me. Maybe they need to see him in training camp. Maybe see him in a preseason game. You know, sort of prove us that the gun is there. He had a great drive against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then pretty much all of a sudden the deal gets done, and we're on our way to the season. But he goes down in the Bears game with a knee injury, and then so for the first month or so he's out there with a brace and a sore knee, and you're thinking, well, that's got to throw off his timing and his throws and all that. But I'm sorry, the last 2 weeks, he's just throwing balls that the accuracy is off. And we, the thing is, Bill, I did not see that at every single one of those OTA, mini camp, and training camp practices that I was at. I just saw a guy. It was the same old Aaron Rodgers, where, you know, in training camp it would take Favre, and not because he didn't come into shape, but it took Favre two and a half weeks to really get it warmed up and get it going. And Rodgers was there by day three, just throwing lasers out there. And what's happened since the Bears game, and why he's not planting that football into the ear hole of a guy. But then again, it also gets back to the fact that he's only got one really familiar target in Davante Adams, and the rest of these guys, he's only got seven or eight games together with.
In the New England game, did you notice that he threw that touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham, excuse me, and he just waited for it to get there. He threw the ball, and Graham was open, and by the time it got there, the DB had recovered and almost tapped it away. It didn't seem like it was thrown hard, and it might be the injury, it might be the clavicle, but it also might be a 35-year-old guy. He's going to have to maybe lift weights more. He's going to have to change, just like Favre did. Yeah.
You know, I think that...
Do we think... Are we sitting here talking about the beginning of the decline of Aaron Rodgers and his skills and ability?
I don't want to go there yet, because I know how hard this guy works and how hard he worked to get himself back in the offseason so that he could get that deal signed during training camp. He had to prove to them that he was going to work hard, and then he was 100%, and they know what's going on. They've got the x-rays. They know where the bone is at. All those kinds of situations. I do think that it would help if, as quarterback, he just got the ball out of his hands quicker. Like, his accuracy would go up if the receiver's on the same page, instead of trying to do the scramble drill and playing backyard quarterback. If he just throws to routes, trusts them, and can think pre-snap, yeah, 90% chance I'm going to this guy on a slant route. That stuff would work, and I think his accuracy would go back up, as opposed to rolling, and then trying to make throws that all of a sudden he can't quite make.
Well, we know that he looked as sharp can be when he came back with a knee injury against Chicago.
In the game
that he hurt the knee. I mean, now granted, he threw to Devontae and he threw to Randall Cobb, and they were making plays. It was yards after the catch. For as much as we want to praise Aaron Rodgers, it was yards after the catch that these guys were getting.
Yeah, we'll find out at the end of the season. He was dealing with a sore shoulder all year because of some hit he took against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he's been smacked to the ground several times as well, and who knows what he's dealing with when it comes to that. He's just not going to give that up.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Out here at Libby Montana's on Donjas Bay Road in Mequon, if you want to come out and say hello here for another 45 minutes. John Dodds from Dodds on Sports alongside Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. The matchup between Carroll and McCarthy, who has the edge in that matchup?
Depends who has the healthiest talent, usually. When you look back to 2014, the Packers played Seattle, and Seattle absolutely dominated them in week one. 16, 17, 18 weeks later, the Packers play them again, and it's an even, completely even game because Seattle had major injuries in their offensive line, their defensive line, and it seemed like all their DBs were nicked up in some way for that game. Green Bay, other than B.J. Raji blowing a knee in training camp and A.J. Hawk being taken out of the starting lineup, they had the same 22 starters minus Hawk from week one to that championship game. It was the 1 year where we never talked about injuries. And McCarthy played him toe-to-toe, and it was a kind of a fluke that they just couldn't quite get it done. About 10 dominoes had to fall, and they all did in that game. But it just seems that I think they're both very good coaches. It's just who's the healthiest, who has the most talent.
I thought that Pete Carroll was kind of fake. Something, like a used car salesman through his career. You know, first runs in the NFL, Jets, Patriots, USC. And then I was around him. And, Bill, right about the time that I started hooking up with your show, there were a couple of times I would, like on a bye week or off week or something like that, I would get gigs where there was a gig where I did Seahawks against hosting the Chargers. So I was up there 2 days early around Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. I was blown away about this guy. They were had some sort of halftime show that was going on, and they were honoring some veteran and some former players, and there was some local musician on. And after all these football questions, and someone like a TV reporter asked him about and about the halftime festivity, he knew everything about the halftime show. The singers, the bands, the lighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pete Carroll's into everything and everything about the environment of his team. He runs different practices where there's a scoreboard up there, and they play football Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. And they'll break down on all these drills. They just scrimmage, scrimmage, scrimmage. They make it fun. They have things you got to hit in terms of targets, but they're keeping score. Every practice is a score. It's more fun. It's competitive. It's different. He's a smart football coach. He's into everything with the environment and not a micromanager, but he's a far smarter guy and far more in tune and about the player's environment and, you know, the mood of the team than what comes off the TV. Because we just see the guy that was lying through his teeth like a bad politician after the Fail Mary game. Shrugging his shoulders. Oh, I don't know. I didn't call it. Right. I'll just do what the refs say. Mike McCarthy is opposite. He's this administrator. Everything is organized. There's a flow chart to problems and solutions to that. He still sits down with guys, and he's a good guy and talks to the players, but he's not as close or as in tune with every single emotion of the dramas of the players. He keeps a distance from them. So they're two different coaches. I really wanted to ask this of Pete Carroll. What do you think of Mike McCarthy as a guy?
Right.
As a coach? I mean, you've had some of your biggest battles against him. We were on a teleconference, and the line disconnected four times yesterday. We couldn't get his. We'd ask him a question, he'd start answering, and then all of a sudden, blink, it'd go off. Then we'd have to redial.
It's McCarthy, you know that, don't you?
Up there.
He keeps hanging up on him.
Hanging up, yeah, the extension or like that. So we never got we got one full answer out of him, and it kept on cutting off, and so it was lost opportunity yesterday.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live. Libby, Montana's Dodges Bay Road here in Mequon. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. Hang in there. We got a lot more coming up, including our run around the NFL in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned. More right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I would say for me personally, it's about Wednesday, Thursday. That's when my body pretty much, by the time I'm ready to hit the practice field and I get the blood flowing, then I'm pretty much good for the week.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Huddle continues. We are broadcasting live. Libby Montana is out here in Dodges Bay Road. We are on Mequon if you want to come by and say hello. John Dodge from Dodge on Sports is here with us. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio is here as well. Packers getting ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Week 11 coming up, and the Green Bay Packers trying to stack success and get themselves another win. And if they can do that and maybe, just maybe, knock off Minnesota, then who knows? You could still end up with, as the competition begins to, I guess the stiffness of the competition begins to dwindle. Your toughest team on the docket would then be Chicago after that, and they've kind of owned Chicago. But who knows what can happen after that? Can they run the table? Can they get to 10 wins? And if they can, then the chances for them actually making it to the postseason, we'll have to wait and see. Going back to, you were talking about Pete Carroll and the difference between him and Mike McCarthy. One of the things that we had watched and witnessed was Bill Belichick coming to the sideline and cheering on his guys and keep them here and, you know, keep running up the gut with the, I don't want to say what he said, but working the guards of the Green Bay Packers and, hey, we got them here and this is what they're doing. And Aaron Rodgers has thrown us a couple already. And I, sitting next to you, Mike, in that game the other day, I watched Mike McCarthy. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Mike doesn't talk to anybody. He'll talk a little bit with the assistant coaches, maybe a little bit with Aaron Rodgers, but he pretty much segregates himself. He must be talking in the ear of the coordinators because he's always got the play sheet in front of him.
Yeah,
he's always
just
looking
who's
down.
In his headset.
And he just seems to be listening as to what's going on. Just different styles of coaching. You know what I mean?
You know, if this is Mike McCarthy's last year in Green Bay, and I started thinking about this summer, about, you know, God, would they really release Mike McCarthy? Would they fire him? And I started thinking, well, Andy Reid got fired from the Eagles. He put out a great team every year and went through all kinds of ups and downs. They got to one Super Bowl. They lost to the Patriots.
Remember, though, they spent a ton of money on that, quote, dream team. That's when Cullen Jenkins went there, Michael Vick went there, and everybody went there, and they were supposed to be great. And that team was a dismal failure.
Yeah, and that maybe cost them at the end. So even Jeff Lurie, who loved Andy, let him go. Well, then Andy, you know, gets to Kansas City. He starts with John Dorsey. Total rebuild there. But if you watch one of these Kansas City Chiefs games, and Andy Reid, who was a quarterback's coach and part of that Holmgren tree back in the 90s and work alongside Brett Favre, they get Patrick Mahomes in their sights and they trade up to get him because they think athletically this kid from a baseball family has got the athleticism of Brett Favre. I mean, this is your second chance, your second, you know, player of a generation of a lifetime, and we can get him here in Kansas City. So they get the kid out there. Now in his second season, now that Alex Smith has moved on, you watch these Chiefs games, John, and during the defense, when the defense is out there, there's Andy Reid sitting on the bench next to the kid, and they're going over the iPad, and they're getting ready for the next drive. I mean, Andy looks like he's having fun. And when I think of all the complex problems going on in Green Bay right now with the veteran quarterback and aging outside linebackers and a new defense coordinator and all that, you got to look at Mike McCarthy and just say, I don't need this anymore. Send me to Cleveland. Send me to some team where I get to pick my own brand-new quarterback and I can coach him up and all that, and I can forget all this drama and I can reinvent my career and see if I can turn things around.
Well, if you're going to get rid of Mike McCarthy, you better find out someone who's – you better find someone who's better. And for every problem there is with Mike McCarthy, all you have to do is look at Detroit and Matt Patricia. He comes in from the defensive coordinator from New England, and it seems like everyone wants the offensive coordinator from New England or the defensive coordinator from New England. You better make sure that this guy is going to take Aaron Rodgers, who has 3 to 5 more years left, to the next level. And I don't know if it's worth it or worth the risk to eliminate all of your offense that you have now. I think it's you have all the plays. Why bring in somebody new and start from scratch and maybe waste a whole year as everybody until everybody gets on the same page? Why not, if Gutekunst could just do what he did for the cornerback and wide receiver positions this past year, if he can do that for offensive tackle, outside linebacker, and safety, mm-hmm. maybe a tight end. Mm-hmm. I still think this is a tweak. Now, the only way I would get rid of McCarthy, and it's a clear deal, is if Cleveland would want him, and you could trick, because Cleveland would want a Mike McCarthy to work with their young quarterback. If you could work out some deal getting a draft pick or some type of compensation from Cleveland, and then hiring John Harbaugh. If you wanted to do something like that, as long as you kept the West Coast offense similar to the way that it is. But I think we can talk about McCarthy, but McCarthy looks like a better coach when Brian Bulaga plays. And when Brian Bulaga doesn't play, Spriggs is like a matador.
And you can't blame that on the head coach. You blame that on personnel.
You blame that on personnel. So I still think it's more of a personnel, because 1 year ago we were looking at cornerbacks Donatello Brown, House, and Pipkins.
Yeah.
Now look at the upgrade, and they're competitive.
Yeah.
And that's probably why the sack totals that you mentioned, Bill, before have come from cover.
You got coverage.
When you think about, and I agree with you, John, that here's where it would make sense. For me, if you believe that Mike McCarthy and the quarterback are on the same page, and there's a respect, and it's not the pouty face that we see out of Aaron Rodgers that's geared towards the head coach, but more so just frustration in general, and this team looks as if they're still competitive and trying to turn a corner, efforting towards a postseason, you keep Mike McCarthy.
I don't think they've been wiped out by injuries by any means this year.
No, they
if
haven't.
If you lose tomorrow night and you lose against the Vikings in Minnesota next week, and you run the table and beat the Falcons and the Lions and the Bears and everybody else and go 9-6-1 and probably don't get a wild card berth, Mark Murphy's going to re-sign McCarthy for 3 or 4 seasons?
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, it's right there. It's all he's already got his back to the wall. I think there was a lot of concern about 9-7 last year with Brett Hundley, and the failures there. That when you see Doug Peterson come in year two and win a darn Super Bowl with Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, mm-hmm. against the New England Patriots.
But also they had built one hell of a defense.
Right. And when you see what the Vikings did, you know, with Bridgewater going down and Case Keenum, you know, running the offense and all those other kinds of other scenarios.
But you would have to believe that the talent level is so good. Mike McCarthy said it best. Our defense has to be better than our offense. And people kind of snicker because it's like, what? You got Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about?
Right.
He meant to say, if Aaron goes down, we have to be able to win with our defense.
Right.
And we're nowhere near close to that.
Right.
Because these guys suck.
Right.
What we've compiled as a talent group, Ted hasn't done a damn thing for me.
Right.
You know?
And listen, I'm not a proponent of this. I'm just trying to, you know, read the tea leaves right now. And when I start looking back, it's like, well, they didn't extend this guy.
That's the biggest indicator that would say Mike is sitting tenuously right now on the hot seat.
And with all the kinds of mistakes you're seeing, you know, you can also talk about, let's see, you know, Ty Montgomery fumbles on a kick return rather than touch back and give the ball to Aaron Rodgers, then you don't get a chance to beat the Rams. Mason Crosby has a career bad day. Aaron Rodgers fumbles and gives Matt Stafford a short field. If Crosby makes those field goals, you win that game, that sloppy game in Detroit.
And the mysterious ball hits King. It doesn't hit King in the back that goes on the 1 yard line.
There's six or seven.
Nobody jumps at it.
There's six or seven plays on special teams. There are one or two mistakes, all that kind of stuff. You talk about Robert Tonyan, the tight end, gets the roughing the kicker in a 17-17 game. Brady gets the ball back, and you know, and that now you lose your momentum.
Right.
And then, you know, those kinds. So you could just see on special teams alone those kinds of mistakes. That's just loser talk, loser excuses. You know, the fact is you don't have this team energized and focused, however young they are in certain positions, et cetera, to the point where there are mistakes and what seems to be lack of communication. That, you know, did anybody actually go to Ty Montgomery and say, you will kneel down? You know, it's those
right.
kinds of key moments instead of this, well, you know, it's our general rule that if it's 2 minutes, we get – No one took – well, you talked to Ty one-on-one the day before he got cut.
He said the coach hasn't even talked to him.
Well,
the coach hasn't even talked to him.
Well, this is all adding up into the list of why they're going to change.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
People used to ask me, why does Dom Capers keep his job from 2011 to 2017? And I said, my read on this is Ted Thompson, for all his pluses and minuses – Ted Thompson can at least self-assess himself and say, what type of talent am I giving Dom Capers? And he won a Super Bowl when he had Woodson, a number one Tremont Williams, who was playing great
Tremont
before he
Sam
got hurt.
Tremont and Sam Shields playing out of their minds.
Sam Shields, Clay Matthews. You had
Colin
Nick
Jenkins,
Collins.
You
had Nick
Raji.
Collins. Nick Collins. Now, you think you were the best scoring defense in the NFL. That thing eroded. And Ted Thompson, I thought, kept Capers because he knew the quality of talent. Here's John McMillan. Here's M.D. Jennings. Here's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He's giving them players that aren't as high as there were before, and he's saying, I see what you're doing here, Dom, and you're doing the best you can with what I'm giving you. So I think what this comes down to is, does Gutekunst think that he's giving him talent that's not being developed, or they're playing inferior to the talent he's given, and I don't think that's the case yet.
No, that's
why I think he's going to stay.
And when you get rid of Jermaine Whitehead for slapping a center in the face mask, okay, that's going back to the old values of the Green Bay Packers. Like, you don't wear a G on your helmet and you do that kind of crap, all right? Mm-hmm. That's not the way you carry yourself as a Green Bay Packer. You take that to the Raiders or some other, you know, crummy organization, you're not going to be a Packer and do that. And Gutekunst is saying, yeah, the new sheriff, those are my core beliefs, that you're going to be a good guy if you're going to be a Green Bay Packer.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live. Libby Montana is out here, Donjus Bay Road in Mequon, if you want to stop in and say hi. Don't forget, coming up next, we're going to start to run around the rest of the National Football League, making some picks. There's a big game coming up tomorrow night, Packers on the road in Seattle. We'll talk about that as well. More right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Score points, get first downs. The quiet and up. We play there in the NFC Championship game. They were loud when we started, and once we scored some points, had them down, it was quiet. It was like any other road game.
Welcome back to the program. It's Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live out here Libby Montana is in Mequon, Dodges Bay Road. That's where you can find us. We are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Those are the voice of Lane Taylor, offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. John Dodd from Dodds on Sports here tonight. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here as well.
Are we going to get into picks here?
Yes.
Could I just ask you one question?
Sure, go ahead.
I think it's going to be huge tomorrow night is special teams.
Yes.
And I think what could make a big difference in the positive column for Green Bay is
Trevor Davis.
Is Trevor Davis, and you got to talk to him on Monday night.
Yeah.
I mean, how's he?
He's ready. I mean,
he wasn't in the locker room, but you know, I guess he briefly talked a couple of weeks ago about how that hamstring injury just came on him out of nowhere,
right,
running down the field during training camp or something, and gosh, he missed 2 months and all. But
yeah.
You know, if he's 100%, that could make a big difference.
It's the biggest thing, and him and I talked about it, is once you get out there and you do it for real, you never know how it's going to act. You know, he said it. He said, once you start having hamstring problems, and he's had them now. He said, once you start having them, you never know. You go to cut, you go to push off, you go to take off. You know, you're looking for acceleration, that extra burner, and you just don't know. So I think for him, the biggest, you know, I mean, once you catch the ball and you see, you know, 11 other guys coming at you, you tend to forget about the hamstring, but there's something in the back of your head that says, do I trust this? Can I go full bore? So we'll have to see. But I agree with you. I think that he has the ability to be a game changer. You know, if he can. Now, he's not a guy that – the last time I really had a confidence level in a guy that could take it to the house consistently was probably Allen Rossum.
Yeah.
Go way back to Allen Rossum, because he just had an innate ability to find the hole and get through it.
And then they traded him to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then I was doing a show with Dorsey Levins and Leroy Butler. It was about this time of the year. We're upstairs downtown at the old Brett Favre Steakhouse in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I don't – let's see. It's like, I mean, I don't know. They got a – we didn't have cell phones then, but they got some kind of a message that this had happened. And Dorsey tells Leroy about it, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
What would we do that for?
They got rid of their
– which I wonder if they had the same kind of reaction when it came to ha-ha Clinton Dix, but that was just totally different.
Right.
I mean, you know, they were just trying to get draft picks or something like that and thought they had somebody else that could return. But for 30 seconds, I saw two current players – in Butler and Dorsey Levins, like, what are they doing now? And then that's it. Then they just brushed it off and they moved on, because that's the NFL.
Yeah.
You just get this news and, all right, I don't understand what they're doing now, but okay, whatever.
You'd like to see Trevor Davis at least be able to flip the field, at least give you his, you know, he's better in kickoffs than he is in punt returns, but you'd at least like to see him be able to kind of flip the field for you. Starting with the games coming up this week, and you've got the Cowboys at 4-5. The Falcons, I have not been able to figure out. That is a team. Matt Ryan is having a hell of a season. Basically, their defense is just banged up and been bad. But the Cowboys on the road taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Both of these teams sitting at 4-5. Guys, I'm going to take the Falcons just at home just because. Both teams are not playing good football. Both teams defensively have been bad. I know there's a little bit more offense there for the Cowboys than maybe so much for the Falcons, but Matt Ryan's having a really good season numerically, statistically speaking, and nobody's really paying attention because they paid him all the money to win, and he's not winning right now. But I'm going to take the Falcons at home.
You know, there was a outside linebacker that the Packers were looking at right around the Alexander pick. Last name is Van Der Esch. The Cowboys took him, and he had 19 tackles that set a team record for Dallas against Philadelphia. That's the all-time record, one of the all-time records for rookies. Just a really good rookie there. I'd have to agree. You'd take the Falcons.
I'll take the Falcons as well, although the Cowboys coming off a nice win over the weekend.
You got the Bengals at 5-4, taking on the Ravens at 4-5. Cincinnati without A.J. Green. They just got dump-trucked by the Saints at home, as a matter of fact, at Paul Brown Stadium last weekend. I don't think it's going to be a big difference going into Ravens, even though it's going to be a closer game. I'm going to take the Ravens at home to win this one.
Yeah, John Harbaugh coaching for his job. I'll take the Ravens at home.
Seems like Cincinnati takes the borderline locker room lawyer types, and whenever there's a problem, that locker room, they lose it quickly. They fired their defensive coordinator, A.J.
They brought in Hugh Jackson.
Yeah,
the guy that had left here to go become the head coach of Cleveland, they brought him back as a special assistant to Marvin Lewis. I guess it's going to help him. Marvin Lewis is never going to lose his job there as long as he wants it. I firmly believe that.
He must have pictures on the Brown family.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. Just ask Katie. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, gosh.
Who you got, John?
I got Baltimore.
Baltimore? You got the Panthers on the road at 6-3, taking on the 3-6 Lions. Matt Patricia looks as if he doesn't have a clue. I'm going to take the Panthers on the road to get the win.
I'll take the Panthers as well.
Absolutely, Panthers.
Titans on the road at 5-4 at the 4-5 Indianapolis Colts. Colts a better team at home, but, boy, it's hard for me to pick against the Titans team that just dismantled a really good Patriots team. But there's that letdown factor. Could they go into Indianapolis and say, okay, we just beat the Patriots, therefore we can roll the helmets out? I'm still going to take the Titans on the road, but I'm doing it reluctantly.
I'm going to say Tennessee's got the better defense in that game, so I'll take Tennessee.
I'm going to agree with that. Tennessee has had some high draft picks over the last 5-6 years, and every now and then those all come together and possibly could be happening now.
Then you've got the Steelers without Le'Veon Bell, and they don't even miss him. James Conner has been fantastic for that team. Big Ben says he texted, no response. It doesn't matter. Le'Veon's gone. 6-2-1 the Steelers are, taking on the Jaguars, and their defense, which was so vaunted early on, has been just terrible. I'm going to take the Steelers on the road to get the win in this one. Yet another road team getting a victory.
I have to go with Pittsburgh.
I'll take Pittsburgh as well.
There you have it. So basically, the Ravens at home, the Falcons at home. In the meantime, you got the Panthers, Titans, and Steelers all going on the road and getting wins. And if you're following along at home, hopefully we make you a lot of money if you're heading out to Vegas anytime soon. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to give you the rest of the picks for the rest of the docket, including the Sunday night game between the Vikings on the road at Chicago. You got a really good one that's coming up on Monday night, the Chiefs and the Rams. And then obviously the Thursday night contest, the Packers on the road taking on the Seahawks. Broadcasting live out here at Libby, Montana's on Dodges Bay Road in Mequon. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. We've got more right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It depends on the schedule for the week. So I think the schedule for LA, definitely was nice to be able to get out there early. This is, a different week because obviously we have 3 days between games. So, we're going to have a normal Saturday type practice on Wednesday.
There you go. Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers.
Who wanted to stay in bed last night.
He
didn't want to fly to Seattle for 4 hours.
Right.
Let's fly Wednesday. We don't need to go out one more day.
Did he pass it along to Mike?
He just right there.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
He's hoping he's listening to your show.
Yeah.
It's too late. They already got on the plane.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it worked.
Too late, no.
Yeah.
Sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as if he's flying scrunched up in coach. I had a flight one time where I took a picture in my knees. My feet couldn't hit the floor because my knees were resting on the back of the seat, and I had them in the air.
Yeah.
And then
well, they take two planes now, so there's going to be plenty of leg room for
and
the
And then
players.
On the description as to what to do in the event of a water landing, the I don't want to say the stewardess,
flight attendant,
he proceeded to put on a red nose, a red wig, and glasses.
Are you serious?
And yes, and made like clown noises during the video.
Oh, great.
And I had no say. And I even told him, I said, if we go down and I have to get out this door,
That's the last image you'll have in your memory.
Yeah, I was actually the one that was in the exit row. I told him, he leans over and he said, oh, sir, are you okay? I said, I'm going to get the door. You're not coming. You're going down with the plane.
You stay on the plane, Bozo.
Whatever sinks, Bozo's got you. So I didn't, I wonder if that's kind of the same guy that's walking up and down the plane right now. Telling Aaron Rodgers, nuts?
Yeah.
And he's looking at Coach McCarthy going, a little.
Just
so,
a little.
There you have it. John Dodds alongside from Dodds on Sport. Mike Clemens here as well from NFL Sirius Radio. If you want to chime in, you can. But we continue our picks around the rest of the National Football League. The Buccaneers on the road. Fitzmagic trying to go into the Meadowlands and take on the Giants sitting at 2-7. Between these teams, they are 5-13 on the season. The Giants stink. Even though they ended up engineering a drive to end that ball game in San Francisco on Monday night. They get a win. I don't know how big of an oomph it is, but I'll take Fitzpatrick to get the win on the road in this one and beat the Giants.
Jean-Pierre Paul also very upset. This is his revenge game after the Giants traded him to Tampa Bay, saying, I never got heard from the owners. I heard from Eli. I heard from the GM.
He flipped him off on the way out of town. Nobody saw it.
Yeah.
Was that bad? Too soon?
No, not too soon. It was actually very funny. I'm with you. I'll take the Buccaneers.
For those who don't know, he blew his fingers off in a 4th of July fireworks incident.
Knucklehead. Yeah. Knucklehead.
I'm going to take the Giants. They have the running game. Their offensive line is improving a little bit. The Buccaneers, you never know what's coming out of that locker room.
I know. They're going to lose because I pick the Buccaneers. Okay. Every time I pick them, they get beat.
Yeah.
The Texans at 6-3. They're on the road taking on the Redskins at 6-3. This is a good matchup. This is a good game. I'm looking forward to this. I think the Redskins are a better football team. But there's something going on right now where the Texans have kind of reinvented themselves.
They got a six-game winning streak.
Yes, they do. And I'm going to take the Redskins at home because I think the Redskins are a pretty good football team. But it wouldn't shock, and I'm doing it again reluctantly because it wouldn't shock me if the Texans walked away with a victory in this one.
I'm going to take the Texans. They're coming off a bye. They've won six straight. I think I just don't believe the Redskins. This is a huge game for the Packers. If the Redskins have, although when you're talking about tiebreakers for playoffs, that tie with Minnesota just kind of throws everything out because Green Bay can only tie with Minnesota. But that would be a big one. I'm going to go with the Texans.
I'll go with Houston as well.
Then you've got the Raiders on the road taking on the Cardinals. Between these two teams, they are 3-15. The Raiders suck. The Cardinals suck just a little less. I'm going to take the Cardinals at home.
1-8. Third worst start in team history for the Oakland Raiders.
Aren't you glad that Mark Davis said, this is completely on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah. I guess I'll take Arizona in what should be a really funky game.
This is the battle for the number one pick, and I think the Raiders are going to lose.
You've got the Broncos on the road at 3-6, taking on a team that nobody's talking about, and that is the very quiet, very good San Diego Chargers, who are 7-2. The Chargers at home are going to get the win.
Chargers got a nice win over the Seattle Seahawks, too. Melvin Gordon had a big day, too. Mm-hmm. I go for Philip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers have the quarterback, and they're playing at home.
You've got the Eagles, 4-5, on the road against the Saints, 8-1 in the Dome. It's not even a contest. I'm going to take the Saints at home to get the win.
I can't argue with Saints. They might now be the hottest team in the NFL since Cooper Kupp had to go down for the Rams with that ACL.
The Saints have the number one defense against the run. Why? Drew Brees has them up 21-3. You're not going to run. So it's kind of a misnomer, but I'll go with the Saints.
You got the Vikings. They're on the road at 5-3-1, taking on the Bears, who are 6-3. Mitch Trubisky has been the fourth best quarterback in the National Football League over the last 4 weeks.
Or really?
Five weeks. The
really?
Fourth best rated quarterback.
Wow.
Since week four, he's been the fourth best quarterback in the National Football League.
Huh.
That being said, I'm going to take the Vikings on the road. I think the Vikings need it a little bit more. They're feeling it a little bit more. They're a really good defense coming in to take on a young Mitch Trubisky who's still trying to learn first year in Nagy's system. And Kirk Cousins, I think, is just a little bit better than what Mitch Trubisky is. I'm going to take the Vikings on the road.
Yeah, a year ago at this time, too, it was a late game at Soldier Field. And, man, the Vikings just, you know, they wore down the Bears. And Mitch probably learned from that. But I still think that Zim can figure out a way to contain the Bears' offense. I'll take the Vikings.
I'm going to take the Vikings, too. And the matchup is the Viking offensive line against that Bear defensive line.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's the key. And
yeah, the Vikings offensive line going to have to play above themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then you've got the 9-1 Chiefs taking on the 9-1 Rams without Cooper Kupp. The other thing I will say is the Rams defensively have been lit up the last couple of weeks. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes league-leading 31 touchdowns already on the season. He has been nothing short of fantastic. This one's the one that's going to be in L.A., not in Mexico City. I'm going to take Kansas City on the road to get the win.
Rams favored by 3.5 points by the odds makers. I'm going to go with Kansas City Chiefs. I think that they're just going to have a little bit more momentum right now. And, you know, the Rams, I don't think they've had a bye yet. I mean, they are running out of gas. At some point, they got to get a break here.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs also. The Rams gave up 270-plus yards rushing to Seattle last week. And with these fires, I think the whole Ram organization is distracted in Los Angeles. So I think they're thinking of other things besides this game.
Then you've got the game tomorrow night. Green Bay at 4-4-1. They're on the road against the Seahawks, who are 4-5-1. The team that wins this game keeps basically their playoff hopes alive. The team that loses, it might be over. This might be the beginning of the end if it isn't already. I've said it all week. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say the Packers get a very close win, 27-23, 27-24, something like that.
Seahawks are 4-5. They've got a good running game right now, as you mentioned earlier, but they're giving up a lot of runs as well, over 309 yards in just the last two games. They've got Mike Solari, former 49ers offensive line coach. He was for a year in Green Bay. He's a great offensive line coach. He's getting the most out of those guys. Brian Schottenheimer's offensive coordinator. Oh, by the way, Mike Pettine, his last job before he came to Green Bay, defensive consultant for the Seattle Seahawks. Did you know that? Yeah. Well, still, I just don't think that right now the Green Bay Packers are playing with the momentum and the energy that they need. I think Seattle wins at home in this one.
I'm going to take the Packers. I would love to know who's going to be on the inactive list and who the DBs are going to be, who are going to play. But Seattle likes to run, and they give up the run. That could be a short game if the clock's running. That would be the Green Bay's advantage in a short week.
That's it. There you have it. Broadcasting out here at Libby, Montana's great place, great people. And don't forget the beer pong tournament next Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Also, winter volleyball is starting soon as well. If you got some teams you want to get together, come on out and enjoy it out here in the Mequon area on Donjus Bay Road. Thanks to Mike Clemens. Thanks to John Dye. Thanks to the staff and management out here at Libby, Montana's. Time for us to go. Have a going. Hoop!
Station strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.